Perikol Abasar makes a comment that Kol Ma'idos Amar Rachmona Sharavon Kavosei, that everything that the Torah prohibited us, we have another thing that has, that can give you the exact same hanor. You shouldn't think that all the pleasures in the world only belong to the people who violate the Averis. So the Gemara says that if a person is dying to taste the flavor of Basar Cholov, let him eat the Chal, let him eat the udders of the cow, that's Mutter, Mutter Minater, and sometimes it's even Mutter Minarabana, to cook the cow with the milk that's naturally in it. And then the Gemara with the Tesis there give additional Mishol. So Tesis there in Perikol Abasar quotes the Piyut that's recited in many shuls on Shabbos Parshas Korah. The Yotzer is the Piyut that's recited during Shabbos. Yotzer is the Pesha, that's why it's called Yotzer. So Tosis quotes this Piyut, Ein Nesterech Echoitzim Nufosecho, where the, it's written by Rav Lezer HaKalir, where he gives you all of the various cases. You have Chelev is prohibited, Shuman Aleid is permissible, Dam you're not permitted to eat, but the Kol, the spleen of the animal, you may eat, even though the Kol is full of Dam. The Gemara says Kovit is full of Dam. Tosis points out slight variations between what it says in the Piyut by Rav Lezer HaKalir and what it says in the Gemara. Apparently Rav Lezer HaKalir was from Eretz Yisrael, and he follows Yerushalmi traditions more so than Babylon. So that's why you have a few spheres between what it says in this field and what it says in the Talmud Babylon. Basar B'cholav, it says Kal, Kilayim, you're not permitted to wear, but Kilayim the Machim Tzitzis is Mutter, Eish Sakhazos of the Machim Yivim is Mutter, and so on. You have exceptions to the rule. Then Rav Lezer HaKalir writes paradoxes. That paradoxes that if a person has a negat saras, a little negat saras, he's tamik parah b'kuloi, then he's tohar. Then he has another paradox: hameis ba'bayis ain't tamik. When a dead body's in the building, ain't tamik. There's no tumah. Yotzei menu, after the dead body comes out, is removed from the house, also mitamik. So what exactly is that referring to? Is the problem? So understand that Otsar Tfila Siddur, standard Siddur, it says that this is alluding to a Mishnah in Kulin, in Perek Behemam Kasha, where the Mishnah says that a woman is pregnant with a baby, and then she finds out that the baby is dead. The baby that she's carrying is dead already. So the Mishnah says that she is not Mitame yet, but she's touching a mate. She's not Mitame even though she's in the oil on mate, and she's touching a mate. Because all the other people are in the same room with Haratoha, because that's a Tumah Blua. And a Tumah Blua, there's two kinds of Tumah Blua. Tumah Blua means either I swallowed something in my stomach, or the woman is pregnant with a dead baby. The Tumah Blua is Kamisha Eno. Tumah Blua is not Matame, and Tahara Blua is not Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara says, let's say I swallowed a ring, and I walk into an oil amaze. So I become tummy, my clothing becomes tummy, but the ring that's in my stomach remains tohar. And then when I walk out, and then the ring comes out, either I throw it up, either comes out this way or that way, however it comes out of my belly, so then the Gemara says the ring remains tohar. Even the Gemara says if I swallow two rings, one ring is tohar, a ring is mekabel tumah, it's a flea, it's a tachshit, it is a flea that you call tumah. So the Gemara says even if I swallow two rings, one ring is tohar, and the other ring is Cherev Harer Kecholo, has a tumor from a maze, and it's treated like Abi Avoy Satuma. So really, that ring should touch. And then I start jumping around in such a way that I hear the rings banging against each other in my stomach. It's clear that the two rings are touching each other. The Gemara says, and then both rings come out, they're both removed from the stomach. So the Gemara says, one was not Matama the other. Aistat Mamish Mago? No, the din is that Tumor Blue, Tara Blue, is Kemisha Eno. Doesn't count at all. The Gemara has such a din by Beis Hastorim versus Bolua. There's also such a din. Let's say there's no maga but Beis Hastorim. That's an example of Beis Hastorim. Let's say another tummy comes over to me and he touches. Let's say I'm tohar and his tummy, so he touches me, so I become tummy. What if he sticks his finger inside my mouth and he touches the top, the palate or something inside of my mouth where it's Beis Hastorim? So the Gemara says there's no din of maga the Beis Hastorim. But what about masa? Let's say I have nivlas behema, a piece of nevela. Let's say I go to the AMP and I buy meat. So that's Nevelah. The Nevelah is Matame the Maga Ubamasa. So if I touch, let's say I pick up the package, that's a, even though the package is wrapped up, so that's Matame the Masa. Let's say if I don't pick it up, the package is sitting there, so I touch it like this. If it's covered, so there's no Maga. If it's not covered, then there's going to be Maga. If it's covered, so there's no Maga. The only time you're going to have Masa is if I push it. But if I pick it up, then it's going to be Masa. So what if somebody puts, I have my mouth wide open, tofalo habero, a piece of nevela into my mouth. So the din is that there's no maga, there's no tumas maga in the day sastron, but tumas masa there will be. So since if the thing is sitting in my mouth, if it's a dover, nevela, nidla vein, it's the time of the maga or the masa, either one or the other, so that would have a tumah of masa. So the Gemara makes a distinction. That's only if it's besa. What if someone puts it all the way into my throat so deep in, that it's further in than Beis Astorim, it's considered Balua. So the Gemara says, Balua is Kamishayna. When something is Balua, there's no Maga, there's no Masa, there's no nothing. That's why the Gemara says, Tuma Balua, Tara Balua, there's absolutely no Tuma Balua. So the Mishnah has such a din, that when a woman is was pregnant with a baby, and then she finds out that the baby is dead, the Kofman says the baby's inside of her womb, it's not Matami her. So that's what the Meforshim say, that this Kiyut is alluded to. Rav Lezer HaKala is referring to that. Meis Babayis, Babayis means the Beis HaRechem. Doesn't mean a dead body in the house. When the baby is dead inside the mother's body, Eino Tomei means that the mother is not Tomei. Yotzim Imenu, once the baby is born, Osim Etamei. So then it's no longer a Tumah Blua. So the mother is Tomei because of Yoledes, and the mother is Tomei because the mace came out, and now she's Metamei Bo'el. When that's not Matami the Maga, when it's on the outside of her body, it's Matami her the Maga. That's the Pasuk Shem. So there's a Medrash that's called Mekach Toyu. It's written by somebody by the name of Tuvia. So every parsha, when he starts his long drushes, every single parsha starts with a Pasuk from Tanakh that has the word told in it. That was his name, Tuvia. That's why the Medrash is called Mekach Toyu. So he quotes this piyut from Rav Lezer HaKala, and he says this chap. He says that Rav Lezer HaKala is referring to that mission of what it says in there. It's Atfilas, but it says in every good sitter with Pirushim on the bottom. But that's what it's referring to. Ameis Babayis Eina Tamei Yotzim Yotzim Tamei. So that's what it says in the Medrash Lekatay on the beginning of Parshas Chukas. So one of the Talmidim of the Nadi Yehuda wrote a Tshuva sefer that's called Tshuva Me'ahava. So he writes in his sefer, the Haraya to Taisis is groping to find out who is this Rav Lezer HaKala, when did he live? The Taisis writes in Chagiga, beginning of the second paragraph, obviously Rav Lezer HaKala was a Tana who lived in Eretz Yisrael. How do they prove that he was a Tana who lived in Eretz Yisrael? Because he has no piyutim to Yom Tov Shalzolia. So obviously he was a Tana who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the Akhbarim, none of Yehuda asks, maybe he's alive today, and he lives in Eretz Yisrael. Why does he have to be a Tana? He lived in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Yom Tov Sheni Shalzol. So some Akhbarim want to say he doesn't have to use them for the second day of Rosh Hashanah either. Today there's a Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. So it must be he lived in the Tkuva Satanayim when there was only one day Rosh Hashanah. That's what Taisus meant. Another say that obviously Taisus there in Chagiga is of the opinion, like the writer, there's a writer in Sochim, that the Zman Hazeh, there's a din of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goli is even in Eretz Yisrael. On Pesach Shavuot Sukkos also, after Bzov Yom Tov Sheni, all the time. That's how the writer writes on the bottom of the rift in Sochim. And Perek Mokim Shinogia says this, everybody knows there's a din of Yom Tov Sheni all over the world, including Eretz Yisrael. So that's what some want to say, that I think the Rav Shash writes like that on that Taisus in Chagiga, the beginning of the second Perek says that obviously that Taisus in Chagiga is working on the assumption, like the Ravid, that in Eretz Yisrael, the Zman Hazeh, there is a Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goli, because they couldn't place this Rav Lezer HaKala, but it must have been a Tana. If they were in the Tanaim, there was only one day Yom Tov on Pesach Shavuot. This is wild. We all know who Rav Lezer HaKala was. He lived in the days of the Rishon. He wasn't a Tana. He wasn't even an Amor. He wasn't for the Tkuv Sakvet. He was later. The days of the Rishon. Taisa didn't know. But the Levi Yehuda Talmud says, he has a right to perish to what Taisa says, that Rav Lezer HaKala was a Tana. So a funny topic. Try to place the person, whether he lived 500 years earlier than he really lived or not. So he says, Arayat, if the Medrash Lekach Toiv quotes Rav Lezer HaKala's piyut and he gives pshat, So who is the Medesh Lakachtoi? So when they printed the Lakachtoi in Europe, the printer didn't know what to call it. So he looked inside the book, and in the beginning of Bereishis in Shmos, he keeps on quoting a pasuk. Every drasha begins with a pasuk, so he writes pasuk, Pei Samach. He's going to keep on writing pasuk. Every time he's going to spell Pei Samach Vovkuk, he always writes Pei Samach within a pasuk. Pei Samach, and he quotes a pasuk that has the word Tov in it, that's his name. So the printer thought that this must be the psikta. What then? You know, that's how you do research, that's called scholarship. This must be the psikta, none other than the psikta the Rav Kana, the famous psikta Rav Kana. Rav Kana was a contemporary of Rav, the first generation of Amoroi. So if you have a psikta the Rav Kana, where Rav Lezer HaKaller is quoted, he must have been a Tana. If he quotes Rav Lezer HaKaller, so he must have been a Tana. So the one who printed the psikta the Rav, the one who printed a lot of these pieces, was Buber. Shlomo Buber. Who was that? The father? The grandfather, I think, of the Meshulam Buber. Martin Buber's grandfather. He's an atheist, and not Martin Buber. The grandfather put out a lot of the Kisayan. He would not be cursed, because the grandfather was apparently a normal person. So he writes that this is a mistake, Agabi mistake, Agabi mistake. He says, Pei Samach just means pussy. He's not a psik. The name, it's never referred to. No one who ever quotes this medrash in the early period till after the printer made the mistake, after the printer labeled it psikta, so everybody refers to this psikta of lekachtoi. But he says the Rishayim who quote it always refer to it as a lekachtoi. No one ever refers to it as a psikta. And there are two different books. There's a psikta the Rav Kana, and then there's a psikta Rav Osi, and then there's a third book. This is it. This is what's called. They didn't know what the name is. So when they came out with the psikta the Rav Kana, they came out with psikta Rav Osi, so they realized this is neither of the two. So the later printers got stuck. How could the earlier printer quote Psikta? So he called it a new name, a new creator name, Psikta Zutrasa. They invented a new thing. The whole thing is mamish from thin air. The first printer made a mistake and he called it the Psikta because it said Pei Samach. And he thought this must be the Psikta the Rav Kana. Everybody knows there's such a thing as a Psikta the Rav Kana. The Rishonim called Psikta the Rav Kana. The Rav Kana was the early Amor. And then after they realized that that's a separate book, and that's a separate book, so they had to make a third name for this, so they called this Psikta Zutra. So he says, the whole thing is a big mistake. We know who the Lakachtoi was. He was a Rishon who lived in Italy. They all guess who. He says, he quotes the documents. The introduction to the Lakachtoi. So he was a person who lived in the days of the Baliatesis. He lived in Italy. Or Greece. He lived in Greece, I think. That's why he never quotes the Rabbi Mikam, he never quotes the Rashbam. The Rishon that we're familiar with, he never quotes. Anyway, this is a big problem. Who Rabbi Lezer HaKaller was? You know who Rabbi Lezer HaKaller was also? He wasn't a Tani, he wasn't even an Amor. He was somebody apparently who lived in Eretz Yisrael, who wrote the Piyutim based on Yerushalmi. He enjoyed Yerushalmi, but I think he was more familiar with Yerushalmi than with Bach. And the piyut in Parshas Shkolim, this book you read Kisisa in Parshas Park. The beginning of Parshas Kisisa, the Torah says, Ha'osha lo yarda v'hadal lo yamid. So the Mishnah, the writer in Hilchos Shkolim comments on the Mishnah in Masechah Shkolim. But how much do you have to give the Machta Shekel? The purpose of Machta Shekel is to purchase Karbonis Tzibur. So how much do you have to give? So the Desna has to make a calculation every year. How many Jews do they think are going to contribute? And how many months will this year have? Will it have 12 months? Will it have 30 months? And how much will the behemoth cost? And they have to make sure that they have enough money for the Matzah Shekel money. They have to make sure they have enough money for the Tmidim and the Mustafim. You have to bring two Tmidim every day. You have to bring two Mustafim. Shnechos ben Eshan Tmidim. What do you have to bring? You have to bring two Mustafim every Shabbos, and every Rosh Chodesh you have to bring another 11 Mustafim. And you have 11 and 13 or whatever, and you have to bring 15. You have to calculate how many minimum stuff you're going to need, and how much the damage is going to cost, and how many people are going to contribute. And then the Bez indeed calculates it, so they make an announcement, we want everybody to give $6.45 this year. And then if it turns out that there's so many Jews and there's so few korbanos needed, or the damage are dirt cheap, so that they don't need so much money. So they say this year everybody can be actually giving $2.50. What happens if it's so little that they won't even have to give them Achtar Shekel? Everyone, there's going to be so much money, there's no need to give even a half of a shekel in order to fund. So that's Talocha, that's how the writer writes, the Pshat is not. The minimum you have to give is matzah shekel. But then, if it's going to cost more than a matzah shekel, to fund the purpose of the matzah shekel fund is to purchase the kavanah kibur, but then the bezin has to determine that it's going to be more. So in the parsha on the Mishnah, said, "Bother the kasha. What do you mean? Where the rabbi agrees with the Mishnah? What do you mean? The bezin decides every year how much everybody should give matzah shekel. But it says in the chumash, 'Oshel ayarbe.' No one's allowed to give more. No one's allowed to give less." How can you say that every year the Bezdin has to calculate and determine how much you have to give? But the Mepharshim and the Mishnah say that that's not what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk just means to say no one's allowed to give more or less than anybody else. The Bezdin has to determine how much. The Bezdin can say, this year everybody has to give $9.50. This year everybody has to give $18. This year it's enough if everybody gives $3.75. And you can never give less than a Matzah Shekel. But in Allah, the Hashem by Yahweh, more than Matzah Shekel means the Hashem shouldn't give more than the Yoni, the Yoni shouldn't give less than the Hashem. That's what it says. And other Rishonim, the Dazkenim, Bali Atei Sanchumish, and the Pan Yop is Mechavim to this. He doesn't quote the Dazkenim say it, but he's Mechavim on his own. They write that din is only a Hayru Ashur. That's not a din of those. Asher lo yabu v'adah lo yabu. That's only when you're taking the census. So you want to find out how many people there are. So if one wise guy is going to decide, they got a check for $5 million. What do you mean? So you're not going to have the accurate census. But we're not talking, if you're not talking about taking a census, you're just talking about purchasing Kavanah Sibur. So Adalo Yamit Fashtetzach, you won't be out to the mitzvah. But Moshe Lo Yarba, why not? You want to give more? Kavo Alecha Brocha? You just say, give more, give all of it. That's where the Panim Yop is from. So this is a Shaila and Halacha, whether that's correct or not. In the Piyut for Parsha Shkolim, here they have in a regular siddur, they have printed Yotzer and Musaf. Yotzer is the Shachrit, the Fuse is the Shachrit, and then they have the Musaf. So in the Musaf of Parsha Sholem, before the Hasima of every Bracha, so you add on a little Fuse. So the conclusion of every Fuse starts the same. Or Panecha Aleinu Adol Nisuach, or his Bracha should show us the shining countenance. The shekel us of the Baish Nochem and Isra, and I promise to give Matzah Shekel, and on the Beit HaMikdash the Baish HaShlishi will be built, with the Tzedek Hege Erech Kisisa, and then you conclude with the theme of Magen Avraham, then you conclude with the theme of Mechaya Mason, you conclude with the theme of Nagdisha Kodesh Ke Avraham and Isra. Every bracha you give Mi'ena Hasim Esam of Hasim. So some are bothered with the Kasher report that one of the Dolzer Rebbe's was bothered with this Kasher. What do you mean? Shekel us of the Baish Nochem and Isra, I will give a shekel. How can you give a shekel? You got to give a matzah shekel. Asher la yarbet. You're not allowed to give more than a matzah shekel. That's the kasha they quote from one of the Belz of Rebbe. I don't know. I don't know if it's even a kasha. Shekel less means I'm going to give a shekel. In the Mishnah, you find a lot of times that the word shekel means matzah shekel. It doesn't mean it was such a common practice to give matzah shekel every year until they started quoting a shekel. They called the matzah shekel shekel. Shkolin, it's Mishnai Shkolin, you don't call Mishnai Matzah Shkolin. Shekel or Shiklo, they don't say Shekel or Matzah Shiklo. That's all the time, Shekel or Shiklo. And those are Shiklo. I don't even see that it's such a kash. Anyway, infants learn that it's a kash, so then they have a different mechabrin after this kash was learned, though. Talk about this kash. So some say, oh, that's the tenth, Sarayah to the Panam Yopis, Sarayah to the Daz Kenim Bali Atesh, that the whole Isra of Ha'ashel Ayyad is only Ha'ruah Shor when you're taking the census. But if you're giving your money for the purpose of purchasing Kavanah Sibur, then there's no Isra. Shekel Esser, you give a full shekel. That's what the Bala Python is bragging about. Build me a base of English and I'll give you a full shekel. Even though I'm only willing to give a Machna shekel, a shekel Esser, I'll give you a full shekel of Baruch Shalom. That's how some understood the Tiyut to be referred to. This week is a double header. It's Parshas Kisisa, which has the din of Shkolin, and it has also, and with the reciting of the Parsha of Matzah Shekel, we yotzei to the best of our ability, and the Shalma Farns Hosseinu, we yotzei the obligation that we all have to give Matzah Shekel. And then we have also Parshas Porah, according to some Rishonim claim that it's a Chiyuv Deraisa to read Parshas Porah. There's only one claim that it must be a misprint. That Torah Sefer doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Why in the world should Parshas Porah be deraisa? But others write that it's hard to assume that it's a misprint, because it appears in so many different Rishonim who don't, they're not copying from each other. These Rishonim have nothing to do, they live in different countries. So how can it be that it's a misprint of all the Rishonim? Why in the world should Parshas Porah be deraisa? the different suggestions I give him. The stipulus suggests that Parshas Parah is the Raisa because of the din that Hizatim is b'nei Yisrael mitumasam. Hizatim is b'nei Yisrael when Aparah l'Bezni. Bezni has to warn the people not to enter the Mokam HaMikdash in the state of Tumah. When you go to Yerushalayim, when you daven by the Kodesh Lamarav, so there's a sign up put up by the Rabbanut that the Jewish people in Hebrew and English, the Jewish people are forbidden to enter on the Har HaBayis because we're all Tmei in front of them. That's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Hizatim is b'nei Yisrael mitumasam. You have to be mafrish to Bnei Yisrael that they shouldn't be nichnas l'amiglish b'tumah. But the Tzadik suggests perhaps that's the Indian of Parshas Parah Deraisa, that the Bezdin is fulfilling the mitzvah of Zaytan is Bnei Yisrael b'tumasam by announcing that whoever is tumah should dignify themselves before they come to enter the Beis HaMikdash. That's how he suggests. The Meshech Chochma by the Yosamech suggests a different mahalach. Why should Parshas Parah, why in the world should Parshas Parah be Deraisa? Why should Parshas Parah be Deraisa? He suggests that it's based on the Gemara in the beginning of Yuma and Daf Dalet. The Gemara says, when you make a Parah Duma, so part of the ceremony of Asiyas HaParah is reciting of the Parsha of Parah Duma. Like when the Kohen Gadol does the Avodas Yom Kippurim, the part of the ceremony of Avodas Yom Kippurim is to recite Parshas Afri Mois. The Kohen Gadol had to read from a Sefer Torah Afri Mois on Yom Kippur. So the Meshech Chochma suggests maybe that's what the Rishonim meant Parshas Parah Deraisa, not Parshas Parah Kriyas HaTorah today. In the history of the world, how does it say they made seven Paradumas? So every time they made a Paraduma, when you make a Paraduma, then Kriyas Parshas Parah Deraisa. The Rishonim are just looking where do you have a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa? The Gemara talks about such a thing as Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. They say, yeah, Parshas Parah Deraisa. They didn't mean Parshas Parah on Shabbos, Shnas Tavshin Nun Gimel. And then when you're doing a Parah Duma, part of the ceremony of Asiyas HaParah is reciting the Parsha. That's Taka Gemara. And that's that.
With the list of Kriyas HaParah Deraisa.
They should have listed that also. It's the same that. They didn't list that. Yeah. Rav Baruch Epstein writes in his autobiography a very fascinating suggestion. Rashi and Chumash quotes, on Parshas Kukas quotes, Rav Moshe HaDarshan. Everything that Rashi quotes from Moshe Darshan appears by us in the Medrash Rabbah. What's a deep dark secret? What was going on there? How come Rashi all of a sudden quotes it and Bamidbar became Moshe Darshan? The Rashi's Rabbah was written by Amaroyim. The others were written by Rishonim. The others, Shmos Rabbah, but the others are collections made like the Lekachtoy, like the other, all, like well, a lot of these Midrashim were Likutim by Rishonim. But apparently this was written by Moshe HaDarshan or something, whatever it is. But Rashi quotes the Medrash on Kukas that says that Parah Duma is a kapora on the Chet HaEgel. Tavo Ha'im it's kaneach so'az benoch. That when a baby makes a mess, so the mother has to come and clean up the mess. So the Parah Duma is the mother of the Egel. Egel Azov wasn't born. But an Egel, leaving out the Zohar, the Egel is a blood of a Parah, so the Parah is supposed to come and clean up the mess. So the Ramban is mistapik to say in the end of the Minyan HaMitzvot, the Hashmat, the Minyan HaMitzvot, the Ramban is mistapik to say that maybe there's a chiyuv deraisa zohar reis asher tzavtas Hashem Elokecha b'amidbar. We have an obligation to remember the Chet HaEgel. The Ramban is mistapik, is that only a hadrasha for the Dor HaMidbar? That they should remember the terrible sin that they did in the Chal Be'a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that notwithstanding the fact that they did such a terrible sin, he still pulled them through the Midbar and he didn't wipe them out immediately? Or perhaps it's even a mitzvah of there, that throughout all the future generations, Klal Yisrael has an obligation to remember the Chet HaEgel. Ramban is mesukkah. The one that Avram is Simon Samach and Orachayim Hilchas Kriyas Shema by Avar Rabba quotes a Yalkut Shema. He doesn't quote the Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvot. Probably never had. Yeah, I don't think he ever quotes a Rambam or Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvot. But he quotes the Yalkut Shema, where the Yalkut Shema says, like the Ramban, second side, that it's a mitzvah of there is to read Chet HaEgel every year. So the Magen Avraham Kvek Takasha, so why don't we have the Valkyrie Gira Klap and Parshas Kisisa and announce everybody should have in mind to the Yotzeh with the Brachas and the Kriya and the Chet HaEgel and the Kriya and have a special Haftarah, the Haftarah of the Chet HaEgel. The Magen Avraham says it's a Genusim Shal Yisrael, and he quotes the Yalkut Shimon, he says the same as the Ramban writes by Chet Miriam, Zohar, Eish HaShiras HaShem HaKech and Miriam, and that's also a mitzvah of the Ramban and Sefer Mitzvah, it's a mitzvah of the Raisa to remember Chet Miriam. And the Yalkut Shimon says, and it's when I turn to Lane, the Kerech HaKzah. Both are free of their rights. The other Rishonim don't have it. Yalkut Shimon is also a Rishi. Yalkut Shimon is by a Dayan from Frankfurt, no? From Shinnin. There's a family here in the neighborhood who claims to be descendants from Shimon, who died. So the Magen Avraham asked, so why don't we have a clock and have a special Kriyas Ket Miriam and have a special Kriyas Ket Ego and have a special Hapur, make a big thing about it, and have a special S.Y. Shabbos, and it should be printed on the calendar. So he says, it's a busha for Miriam, it's a busha for the Klal Yisrael, that she sinned with Lashon Hara, that we sinned with Ket Ego. So the Magen Avraham says, just like it says in the Tzadikim, that if you missed Parshas Zohar, you can be Yitzei with the Kriya Parim and Yisei, or the Magen Avraham says you can be Yitzei with the Kriya Purim and the Shabbat. Why? Because in order to be Yitzei with the Kriya, they rise the Parim Zohar. It doesn't have to be that with a special Shabbat, with a special Hapere, with a markdown on the calendar. But since this is a Genusim Shalat Tzadekis, a Genusim Shal Yisrael, to make a special Kriya, the Nisakan, a special Hapere, and so on, for a Chet Miriam, a Chet Egyo, so we're yet to the Kriya Sator, but everybody should talk to have in mind when you read Parshat Kisisa to be yet to the death. So Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah thing, is suggesting in his autobiography that maybe that's what Parshat Parah Derais is all about. What is the purpose? What's the nature of the mission to remember Chetay? Remember that we were all born in sin? That's from a different religion. We don't believe in that religion. We believe, we say every morning, Neshama Shenasah to be Tahirihi. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't bring us into this world in sin. He brought us in pure. We sin. Each person has the ability to, has clear chashus, he can sin and ruin his neshama, dirty it and paint it, and if he so chooses, he can maintain the purity of his neshama. He wasn't born into sin. What does it mean we should remember the Chet Ha'egel? So the Pashto says we should remember that despite the fact that our Kodesh, despite the fact that the entire people worshipped Avodah Zarah, it was still possible to do tshuva, to get a kapar. So the real mitzvah of remembering the Chet Ha'egel is to remember the kapar. So that's what Rabbi Chaim suggests. Maybe that's, it could be that he quotes it in some of them, I don't remember. So he says maybe that's the nature of, maybe that's what the Rishonim is driving at. The nature of the mitzvah, Parshas Parah Deraisa. We should read Parshas Parah, which is the kapar for the Chet Ha'egel. So by reading Parshas Parah, we're repeating this lesson. We're telling over this lesson that even if the entire nation sinned with the worst aveira possible of Avodah Zarah, there was possible to do tshuva and to gain a kapara for that as well. In fact, the Gemara, the beginning of Avodah Zarah says, "Lo yitesh Avodah Zarah ruim lo yitesh ma'isa." So the Dach HaTeber absolutely doesn't make sense if you're experiencing the Esamakis and Kriyas Yamsuf and all the Nisim Neflos and Minor Hasina. It doesn't make sense to their HaTeber that the people should worship Avodah Zarah. They should make a Chet Ha'egel. The whole thing is wild. So the Gemara says that they really didn't do it out of their own free will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended their Bechir Chavshis and he caused them to sin Lahoris Tshuva L'Rabbi in order to teach the lesson of Tshuva. So the whole purpose of the Chet Ha'egel was in order to teach the lesson of Tshuva. That's how the Gemara says in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. That's what the Torah Tmimah suggests. That maybe the mitzvah of Parshas Parah, maybe there is a mitzvah of Parshas Parah there, right? So the mitzvah is to remember the Chet Ha'egel. Yesterday we were discussing the some of the aspects of Sreitas Bas Koyin, that there are three different onshin for Loisina, sometimes Fennec and sometimes Kilo, sometimes Sreitas. So the Mishnah in Trumas presents a Machlekes HaTanayim. What if you have a Bas Koyin who was Niskalolo, she was Nivolo to a Goy. The Nivolo Lepas Lepsol, so she's knocked out from Tuna. She no longer has a din of Kohen. She's not permitted to eat Truma anymore. The Gemara even says that she's not a Leviya. Mentioned, the Gemara says in Torah on Daf Mem Zayin that a Leviya, she Nivolo Leakum, remains a Leviya. But Kohen, she's Nivolo Leakum, the Mishkin Kohen is a Mishkin Leviya. The Gemara says she needs a Nachmina if she has a baby later on. Nachmina if she has a firstborn child later on, will a child be Chag and Kidya Ben on that? So, if the father is, if the baby is a kohen or a lady, he does not be a kidya ben. Even if the baby is not a kohen or a lady, because the father is a ger, the father is a goy, the father is a whatever, a yisrael. If the child is mishkin kohen, mishkin lady. But if the mother is teterechim, if the mother is a kohen, a silvavia, then also there's no kidya ben on the firstborn baby. What if the mother was a nivolo la'akum before she had this baby? So then the Gemara distinguishes the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara. Gemara distinguishes, was the mother a Kohenes, or was the mother a Leviyah? If she was a Leviyah, she nivela la'akum. The nivela la'akum by Leviyah does not cancel her status of Leviyah. She came to Dusha's Leviyah. And the child will be possessed from picking up that. Even if the kid is not a lady, because the mother was a Leviyah. But if the mother was a Kohenes, she should nivela la'goy, then that knocks her off from the Kedusha's Kuhuna. And Kedusha's Leviyah she never had in the first place, because the Kohenes is not a Leviyah. But the child will be chai from picking up that. I remember once I was giving shur in a certain community. Must have been after Parshas Hashirot. I was going to the beginning of picking up Ben, and then in the middle I said over this dinner, what happens? A bas kohen is living with a goy, and she has a baby. And as I'm giving a shir, I realized there was a man sitting there whose daughter, he was a kohen, he was the only kohen in the community. His daughter was married to a goy, and she was expecting a baby. Yeah, she had a baby boy. She had a baby boy. So the baby boy needs a bris milah, and he needs picking up Ben too. Because the kid, the father was a guy, but the kid is Mishkan Kohen, Mishkan Lady, the kid is Jewish. But the mother was Nivolo the Akum, the mother was living with a guy. The father of the baby was a guy. So the kid is that the baby needs the picking up Ben. Who does the picking up Ben? That's a different shot. The father can do the picking up Ben, as the Hagoy. The mother is not Mukhiyat to do the picking up Ben. Can she volunteer to do the picking up Ben? Can the Bezin volunteer to do the picking up Ben? If they're not the father, that's the Machlaik. Ramon, Yeruday, who was picking up Ben? It's the Mishim Hei, quotes the Rivosh, but you can't volunteer picking up Ben. Picking up Ben is either that he says the Bryce and says like that at the end of the first parak in Kedusha. If you have a baby, so the father's mechuyev to be mal the baby. The father doesn't do it, so the Bezin has the obligation to do it. The Bezin doesn't do it, so Kol Yisrael has to do it. Kol Yisrael didn't do it, and the kid grows up and he becomes bar mitzvah, then the kid is obligated to seek for that he should get a bris milah on his own. And the same Bryce that says, when the father has a baby boy, first baby boy has to make picking up Ben. If the father doesn't do picking up Ben, so the bride leaves at the second step, Bezin should do, leaves at the first step, third step, Kol Yisrael should do, and it jumps to the fourth step. Because if the father didn't do the picking up Ben on the Yom Laman Aleph, then when the baby becomes bar mitzvah, the child has to do his own picking up. So my heart, how come he left out the second step and the third step? That if the father doesn't do picking up Ben, the Bezin should do, if the Bezin doesn't do, Kol Yisrael should do. And if they don't do, when the child grows up and he's bar mitzvah, he should do. So the Rivosh, quoted by the Ramot, Shulchan Aruch Rivosh says, it's the dafka like that. The drive that meant to make a conquest. Picking up Ben can only be done by the father or by the person himself. It cannot be done by any outside. And that's how the Ramot passes. And the Shach disagrees. That's where the Shach quotes the Tzedel Laderach. Tzedel Laderach is the Sefer HaKumash in Rashi. Tzedel Laderach is by the author of the Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva? We went through that already, man. Be'er Sheva was the Talmud of the Snach. Be'er Sheva, Be'er Sheva. The Sefer quoted by the Magen Avraham, the Be'er Sheva. So the Shah, I'm sitting Shin Hei and Yeruday, who's picking up Ben, quotes the Tzeyu Laderach. He quotes the Aseik HaFumash in Rashi, that the Tzeyu Laderach passes against this Rivosh. He holds in the Vilna Gaon, holds to look in the Shah. He holds the Groh holds that the Shah is right. Tzeyu Laderach is right. It's a big Shah in Europe. There were different in Hogan what they did. In Europe, they didn't have such a Chitins. It wasn't so common that the father was a Goy. He was married to a Jewish woman, but they had the father die. What do? The father died. The father's in the army. He's drafted in the army. The father's in the yeshiva. Sometimes the wife was became pregnant. The father went to learn in the yeshiva, and they sent him a telegram. His wife had a baby. What? He's going to fly in for the bris for the picking up Ben. Not going to fly in. He couldn't afford to fly. Couldn't afford to walk. He couldn't afford to travel. He's going to miss the bris and the picking up Ben. He's not going to be there. So the bris he can do even if the father's not there. That's how they describe in the Hakdamah to the Kovitz Shiurim, Rabbi Chama Vasim Shiurim. So they described that his wife had a baby boy, and they sent him a telegram. He was learning in Radna, I think. They sent him a telegram, his wife had a baby. So they gave him a telegram, so he stood up, he said, Shechianu, and he sat down, he went back to lunch. What's he going to do? He was in a different city. He wasn't going to walk to the hospital. He couldn't afford to travel. But his wife had a baby. So he stood up, he said, Shechianu, and went back to lunch. Was going to throw Kiddush? He couldn't afford to throw Kiddush either. Nothing to do. So that was a shaila. Let's say if the father's not around, the father's in prison, the father's in Siberia, the father's not alive, the couple got divorced, whatever. You do a picking up then on the baby or not. Those are different minhagim. In Galicia and in Hungary, they follow the Samsoita. Samsoita says you have to be kosher for both sheep. So he says the Bezin should do the picking up then on the Yom Lamadal of the Libracha. And then they should tell the kid after he comes on mitzvah, he should repeat the pidyon aben again, believe God. And in Lithuania, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Lithuania, the minute was like the Vilna Gaon. Follow the Shach, he do the pidyon aben now, and Yom Laman, someone else gives the money. grandfather gave it, he doesn't give, someone else gave him the money, what, he's going to be lying, the kid's going to make his own figure like that, he's going to remember. If he's bar mitzvah, he's going to remember. So the Rama says, when you have such a kid who needs a pig in a bed, and if they didn't do it, he should hang a tag on his neck. The kid should walk around with a tag that says, Bilti Padr. You know, the kid's going to walk around with a tag, an ID tag. He's going to remember that he's Bilti Padr. So they were different in Hogan type of what they do. So the Mishnah in Trumas has this, the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the Nun, both this Machloek and Satanai. When the Torah has a din of Baskoin Shazinsa, that she's Chayev Sreifah, what happens if the Baskoin already lost the status of Kedushas Kunin? Let's say she was Nivola to a guy. And then she gets married to a Jew. And then she's Mizana. Would you say that she's still the Sreifah? Would you say no? She's not a Kohenet anymore. She's a Baskoin. Her father's still a Kohen. She's a Baskoin. But she herself is not a Kohen. So the Gemara says that's a Machlokes HaTanaim. And then the Gemara says that Machlokes HaTanaim is related to a machlokes regarding the pasuk in today's seder. When we were reading the Rambam yesterday, the Rambam pasuk is la'alocha in there. We're reading the Rambam in Hilchos Isuri Diyah, no? In Hilchos Isuri Diyah, I think it's Teragina. That there are three punishments for anashis isha zimsa, sometimes panic, sometimes sreifa, sometimes stiva, and it says that the bas panashis zimsa gets sreifa even if she's already nivola the possible. Even if she's married to a mamzer, but for sure she's nivola l'poslo. But that's the machlokes HaTanaim. It's in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, in Isuri Diyah. This machlokes HaTanaim is quoted in Sanhedrin also, but it's the original place is a machlokes in the Mishnah and Trumas. So the Gemara there in Truma, the Mishnah and Trumas, and the Gemara had it close that they had the same machlokes over here regarding the din in this week's seder. That you're not permitted to isha sheyirkach kamo. The Torah requires that we should make shemen amishcha, and the Torah forbids two isurim of koris. Isha sheyirkach kamohu. Anyone who makes an imitation of shemen amishcha is tied koris, or ashiyitim emenu alzar. Someone who takes from the original shemen amishcha. And he puts it on a zar, on a person who's not supposed to have Shemen HaMishcha. Who's supposed to have Shemen HaMishcha? Kohanim Gedolim. Who's supposed to have Mashiach to Shemen HaMishcha? And a Melech from the Malchus Beizdavid is supposed to be Mashiach to Shemen HaMishcha. Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach means the one who was anointed. Mashiach to Shemen HaMishcha. So the Tanoim had a machlokes. What if you had a Kohen Gadol who was appointed, and he had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishka, you had a Melech who was appointed, and he had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishka, and then a week later, some wise guy decides to take B'Shem and Amishka and smear it on the Melech of the Kohen Gadol again. So would you call him an Ishzar or not? So that's a machlokes HaTanoim. So the Gemara there in Sanhedrin relates these two machlokes. If a person was... Does the word Zar mean one who is always a Zar from the beginning to the end? Zar Meikora Mashma? Or as long as right now he's a Zar. He is a Kohen Gadol, he is a Melech. But now is not the day that he's supposed to do Mashiach B'Shem and Amishka on him. Is that person called a Zar? They say, no, Zar means a total stranger. He has no shaykes with B'Shem and Amishka. So the Gemara has such a machlokes regarding a Bas Kohen also. What does it say? Chazal Yechol Kodesh, let's say a Zar She'ochal Chuma. A non-Kohen who eats Chuma is Nisim De Shamayim. It's not Koris like over here, it's Nisim De Shamayim. And whoever eats Chuma, B'Shegig has to give Keren B'Chemesh. So what if a Kohen eats Chuma? Kohen is not a Nizar. So what if a Bas Kohen who is Nivul of the Possible? She was nivul ala akum, shili truma. She's no longer allowed to be truma, but yesterday she wasn't a zar. For the first 15 years of her life, she was not a zar. She became a zar after she was nivul to the goy. Is that called a Zara? Not. Hayez said it wasn't Zaretz Lameikor. So the Gemara has this Machlokes HaTanan regarding the Mashiach B'Shem and Amishkan, the Izar, and regarding the, that's a Machlokes increases. Is Ishzar Machlokes HaTanan increases. And the other one is a Machlokes in the Mishnah and Trumas, and the Rishonim related to it. The Gemara doesn't relate, but the Rishonim, the Shittim Kubetz is on the side of the Daf increases relates it. And the Yosemech relates it, that it's really the same Shaila, whether the Zara, the Loshon HaGemara is the same, whether Zara means Zara the Hashto, you have to have a Zara Metzila V'Yatzot. The Gemara Sanhedrin speaks about the Machlokes HaTanaim, what about the Baskoin Shezinso, she Bisreifa, even if she's no longer a Kohenes. They say as long as at one time she was a Kohenes, even though now she's no longer a Kohenes, so they say no, she has to be a Kohenes now. That's the Machlokes HaTanaim. Torah speaks in this week's Sedra of the Din of Shabbos and calls it Osi Beni Ben Echim Lederos Teichon. And he speaks again Beni Ben Yisrael Osi Be'olam. Shabbos is a special Ois. And the Gemara says it's based on this Psukim that we pass in La'alocha. There's a Machlokes HaTanaim in the last parak in Erevin. We pass in La'alocha that Shabbos Yom Tov Alav is not Tfilin. That there's no obligation to put on Tfilin Shabbos Yom Tov. Why? Because it says in the Torah that the purpose of wearing tefillin is to have an oath. So we assume that Shabbos v'yomtiv are themselves an oath. You don't need an additional oath on Shabbos v'yomtiv. The Smad, Sefer Nisus Gadol, by the Baal HaTosfos, Rav Moshe Mikutzi, writes out Russia. He used to travel around in France and Germany to be more of the people to wear tefillin. They didn't wear tefillin. The Baal HaTosfos were wore tefillin, but the Baal HaBatim, they weren't all Baal HaTosfos. Not everybody who lived in the days of Baal HaTosfos were Baal HaTosfos. I had plain Baal HaBatim. They didn't wear tefillin. A lot of people only wore talis on Shabbos. They davened in the week, but they didn't wear talis and they didn't wear tefillin. They say, Sidon complains that the Mevazek Kedusha Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the Sefer Daniel he describes his vision of the Ribono Shel Olam as an old man with long white hair wearing a talis. The Malvush of the Ribono Shel Olam in his vision was as white as snow. Levushei Tiklag, Kishele Kiber, Kishele Lovon. So the Sifrei Kabbalah that the Sefer Chassidim quotes say that his vision, in his vision he saw the Ribono Shel Olam as wearing a talis. I can even advise him the Malvush of the Ribono Shel Olam, if you don't wear a talis, don't wear a talis. Tefillin also didn't wear. Tefillin need gufnokin, you know, about to be Messiah Ba, so the young, once in a while, they didn't wear every day tefillin. So the Smag had a Masa HaTfilim, like Rav Kook, when he lived in Europe, and he was a young man, was encouraged by the Father Simon, he had a Masa HaTfilim. Traveling around to all the communities, that people should check their tefillin, that's when they started the Bat Mishmeres Tam, at that time. Everybody wore tefillin in Europe, the tefillin were puzzled. It wasn't black, and it wasn't meruba, it was out of shape, and the tzad wasn't good, and no one bothered to check it, because Allah says, if you wear the tefillin regularly, once a month, once every 30 days, that you don't have to check the tefillin or you don't want, so they didn't check it, so that's cool, from the great-great-grandfather. There were puzzles from generations before, they didn't, no one ever realized it was puzzled. So that was one of the big things that the Rav Kook, the final of Baruch, had a Masa HaTfil, he traveled around to encourage everybody to check their tefillin. That's when they started in Europe, about that time. That's when they started the Vadim Mishmeres Tam, to check their tefillin, to make sure that they should be kosher. So this Smag had his Masa HaTfil, to encourage people to wear tefillin. To wear tefillin. Yesh Meyayim, not that they should be kosher for. They should wear tefillin. So he writes over the drasha that he was fond of saying, that Al Pishnai made him Yakum Dabar, that you have to have two oises. A person has to have two oises. So he says in the Torah, three mitzvahs are singled out as oises. Bris Mila is an ois, and Shabbos is an ois, and tefillin is an ois. So by every Jewish man, if it's on Shabbos, then you have two of the three oises. You always have the Bris Mila with you. You have the Bris Mila, and you have Shabbos. On the weekdays, you don't have the ois of Shabbos. So you need the ois of the tefillin together with the ois of the Bris Mila. When you have two oises, that's it. He says that's the pshat in the Gemara. A drasha. That is the drasha that he gave. That's the pshat in the Gemara. The Shabbos is yom tov. You're not obligated to put on tefillin because Shabbos is yom tov. Hang goof on ois. What does it mean? You always have to have two out of the three, because Al Pishnai made him Yochum Dov. On his drasha, on the drasha of the Smag, Smag was a Baal HaTosfos. HaTosfos quotes the Smag. He wasn't a Tam. A Baal HaTosfos. So the Smag, there were two. The Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, two big volumes, and the Sefer Mitzvos Kotel. That's a different reason. Who wrote Rav Yankel Mikurva? Rav Yankel Mikurva wrote the Sefer Mitzvos Katan. Sefer Mitzvos Katan is a smaller section. They're much abbreviated. Sefer Mitzvos Gadol has big chunks of places. That's on the side of the Gemara. In the Ayin Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, he refers it to the Smag, because years ago, the Smag used to be a Sefer that everybody used to learn. The Shach always quotes from the Smag. A lot of times he quotes places in big chunks from places that we have with slightly different nuances. And a lot of times it becomes clear what Tesis is driving at by reading in the Smag. Now we don't need it so much. We have the name Luchas. So who needs us? Who needs our Smag? You have the Bnei Yeshua, you have the Nachalas Moshe, whatever. We have so many Svarim on the Gemara. You don't need the Smag. But sometimes the Smag comes in him. Avnei Nezer added on a drosha, Agami drosha. Avnei Nezer added on a drosha on top of the drosha of the Smag. That what's the idea behind having two oises? Why is it called an ois? The Smag says a loshen of Edis. Afishnai made him Yochum Dovah. So who's talking about Edis? We're talking about oises. So the Avnei Nezer said it a little differently. The pasuk speaks of that David Amela, Hayisik Yiseh Oved. He says about himself in Shekhar Tim. He's like a lost sheep. A lot of people are lost in this world. A lot of people are floating. They don't know exactly who they are. They have identity crises. They don't realize that they're Bnei Shel Avraham Yitzchak. They don't realize that it's Gush Yisrael. They don't realize Chashivas HaOdem Bechlal and Chashivas HaYisrael Befrat. So a lot of times people are lost to themselves. So what's the din when you have an Aveda? How do you identify the Aveda? He gives the money. What kind of a simon do you give? So we're not going to be more. There are three categories of simon. There's a simon muvik, there's a simon emtsoi, and there's a simon garua. You say, a simon garua. I lost an article. Describe the article. It was small. Half the things in the world are small, half the things in the world are large. Let's say, tomorrow has the case, the woman's husband disappeared, she doesn't know where her husband is, and they found a dead body in the river. Oh, so maybe we should put two and two together. So they asked the woman to describe your husband, so she says he was tall and thin. Half the men in the world are tall and thin, half the men in the world are short and fat. That's a simon garua, that's nothing. If she says he was tall and thin and he had six fingers on the right hand and four fingers on the left hand and he had 3 feet and he had two noses, that's a simon mudik. That's called Echad Mini Elam. The Beishmol writes in Evan Ezra, that's a simon mudik, Echad Mini Elam. But Lot, she says he was tall and thin or short and fat. He had a light complexion, he had green hair. And green hair is a simon mudik. She says he had red hair. So there are many people have red hair. That's not a simon mudik. So you have a simon mudik is sure good. It's a Echad Mini Elam. A simon benami is a discussion in the Gemara. It's not Echad Mini Elam. Simon garua for sure is no good. So then in Ebenezer it says the whole discussion, what if you have two Simon and Benini? Let's say she describes her husband. She says the husband was tall and thin and he had a mustache, but he was clean shaven and he wore glasses and he carried with him in his attaché case film the Rabbein Tam also, and he had the Rashi Tavis on his Talizeko Yud Gimel. So Yud Gimel alone is not a simon mudik. Tzion Rabbein Tam, all the chassidim take Tzion Rabbein Tam. A mustache clean shaven is not, but if you add them all together, tall and thin, and a mustache, and Tzion Rabbein Tam, and Yud Gimel. So if you add together a few simon and emtsoyim, so that'll add up to a simon mudik. You add together a lot of simon and doing, that'll never add up to anything. But if you add up a lot of simon and emtsoyim, then it will. So that's what the Avnei Nezer said, that he said over the drash of the Smag, but a little differently. It's called an ois, it's not called an agent. He said an ois means an ois that the person should identify himself, he shouldn't be lost. The person should not become a lost article. He should know, he should recognize who he is. Where are you? Who are you? The Ibn Shalom asks Sada Marisha and Ayeka, where are you? That's a question we all should ask ourselves. Who are we? Where are we? And where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going? People a lot of times get lost in life. They forget who they are. So the way to remember is to have simanim. You're not going to have any simanim, so you won't remember. If you have a simanim mudik, if you have a couple of simanim emtsoyim, so that will be the equivalent of simanim. So that's how the Avnei Nezer said. You need two simanim emtsoyim all the time. You have to have the bris milah together with the tefillin in order to constitute a simanim. Korah describes this strange story of the Chet Egel, like a pillar flying. That's what the Gemara couldn't understand. What in the world was going on? The Gemara says, it wasn't that of their own Kirachoshes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to sin in order to teach the lesson of Tshuva. That's, you read the way. Can you imagine such a thing? The whole Tzibur violates Avodah Zarah, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'chal Moshe, what are you getting excited about? What are you getting angry about? What do you mean, what are you getting angry about? After doing all the nisim and the flaws and that's the market and all talkless with the Holy Jesus saying was in order to give Matan Torah, so they worship the eagle. This is wild. So what does he say? Lama Hashem, said the Ramban books now. What do you mean, Lama Hashem Yechrab Chamas? Say please. He should kneel on the floor and cry and have pity. What are you getting excited about? Lama Hashem Yechrab. So obviously there's something missing over here in the story. So that's what the Chacham had a tradition. The whole thing was a bluff. That the Yidden never worshipped Avodah Zarah and Meretzon HaTov. It wasn't that of Kriya Chashish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to get angry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to sin. So then Moshe Rabbeinu says, so what are you getting angry about? You were the one who caused them to sin? Then we don't understand. So why is it that they were killed? And why is it that there was a Margeitha? So the Marsha talks about that. If they really didn't have Kriya Chashish, so the Marsha is. So why were they punished? Like, not Kashish. You don't fully understand the halacha, but it's really a pelodic part of the whole chetah. The Gemara says that it's lahoris tshuva l'rabim. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, v'yav Hashem alpano v'yikra, Hashem kerach mochamim, v'yav Hashem alpano, like you have a lotion, oivel lefnei ha-teilom, malamish in the sight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yechon says, v'mol el-mikra kosov, it's not to the fact that that's what it says in the chumash, v'yav shalu yomro. You're not allowed to say this would be chirif v'gidur. We don't believe that God has a body, but the pasuk sounds as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared in front of Moshe Rabbeinu in a human figure, dressed up with a talus like a chazan hazoivel lefnei ha-teilom. That's the mocha, that the chazan has to wear a talus. Chazan wears a talus when he davens by Norman, not because shachar, everybody's wearing a talus. What if he's a single guy, he's not wearing a talus? What if it's Mincha Meirev, he's not wearing a talus? No, the chazan is supposed to wear a talus because it's a chazan. It says when you say slichas in the middle of the night, after midnight, the chazan is supposed to wear a talus. The Shleach Tzibur is supposed to wear a talus. Malamish in the Sata Bachadosh Baruch Hu, Shleach Tzibur, he put on a talus like a Shleach Tzibur, and he said, Hashem Hashem Kerach Mechamim. So that was the whole purpose of the Chet Egel, was to teach this lesson.
Isn't that a little bit circular?
Why?
You know that Baruch Hashem will put on a talus because he's not there like a Shleach Tzibur. You know Shleach Tzibur put on a talus because the Baruch Hashem put on a talus. The Shleach Tzibur has to put on a talus out of Kovod HaTzibur.
Has to be properly dressed. He's going to wear shorts and put on a towel, it's not going to help. He has to be formally, properly dressed, even to the extent of wearing a towel. That's why in the Near Yeshiva in Europe, the old Rabbein used to teach here told us that they all the guys were single. They didn't have any accommodations for married people. So sometimes when they would go down for an army, they had no towels. A lot of times they had no towels, so they would put on a coat on top of their jacket to have an additional malbush. Is in the building. They weren't chilly or anything. Put on a coat out of more kovid. No, so the Medrash says Melamish and Satav Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kishleach Tzibur, just like the Shleach Tzibur puts on a talis when they kovid at Tzibur. So to the Rebbeinu Shlom put on a talis. Either it was not kovid at Tzibur. He wanted to show Moshe Rabbeinu the Seder of Amiras Yud Gimel Midas, because Man Shabbane Choytin Yasu Lefonik Yisayde Hazev Ani Mochalem. That was the whole purpose of the Chet Ha'Egel, was to teach the lesson of Tzibur. The Mogen Avram has a comment, I think it's in Hilchos Shabbos, in Reish Pei Beis, Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, that if you look at the Aliyahs over here, they're so lopsided. The first and the second Aliyah are so long, and Parshas Kisisa, and then after that, everything gets very short. So why couldn't they divide it a little more evenly? He says, because the Bnei Yisrael worshipped the Egel, and the Levim didn't. The Shevet Levi didn't worship the Egel. So if a Jew, if Israel is going to get, if you're going to divide the Aliyahs normally, everyone's going to get an equal portion, then this is going to be way after Levi. The Chet Egel is going to be, one of the Israelis is going to get that. So it's really embarrassing for anybody to, a guy's going to read, whoever gets the Aliyah late, he's going to read, and we worship the Chet Egel. How can you say that with a straight face, worship the Chet Egel? We have the Levian read that Aliyah. Whoever gets the Aliyah is considered, Bismana Gemara, the one who got the Aliyah would read. It's matters that we have an institution of a Balkari, that is considered as if the Oyla Latera is Laini, with the assistance of the Balkari. Balkari is mostly him and Shemekai. It's considered as if the lady is reading. So the Magen Avraham says, therefore we have such a lopsided division of the Tzukim, that the Kohen gets a long Aliyah and the lady gets a long Aliyah. in order to be the story of the Chet HaEgel by Levi, by Kohen Levi, so that it shouldn't be embarrassing to the Bnei Yisrael. Says in Megillah that when you learn Kriyas HaTorah, every Aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 Psukim. So let's say on Monday or Thursday morning when you give 3 Aliyahs, so you should have to have a minimum of 9 Psukim. So the Gemara says, no, that's another Tachan, you have to have a minimum of 10 Psukim. So in other words, somebody has to get 4 Psukim. So who should get the 4? So the Gemara says, it doesn't matter. If the first one gets 4, is okay. The second one gets 4, is okay. The last one gets 4, is okay. The Gemara gets parallel. In Megillah, the Gemara says, whoever gets 4 psukim, that's a more kabbalistic aliyah than the one who gets 3 fatter aliyah. 4 psukim as opposed to 3 is a fatter aliyah. The Gemara says, so how should, which would be prettier? The Gemara says, well, it would be more symmetrical if the first and the last get 3 and the middle guy gets 4. So everything is even, like symmetrical. Or the Gemara says, Malam HaKodesh, the Lomarim, so the last one should get 4. Or maybe the first one should get 4, you start off with a bang. So the Gemara says each way is fine. Symmetrical, Malam HaKodesh, the first one, the Gemara gives Paolo, Shekel Ahin, and other things. But you see from that Gemara that whoever gets the Aliyah with the 4 Psukim is a more Choshev Aliyah. So the Torah to me, the Taki writes in his autobiography, you have to have a lot of gezulk to read that autobiography. Long winded, very long. When they translated it into English, they made it the teacher. They abridged it, but they abridged the English form. My uncle's in the field, that part of the autobiography. They should abridge the rest of it also. It reads much faster than the original was in Hebrew, and it's very, very long. Remember, he writes this, he was a Levi. A Baruch HaLevi Epstein. And he says, Epstein is a Spartish family. They're descendants from the Ben Beneshti family. Sounds like from the Mafia. Ben Beneshti. And he claims to trace back his family to the Balamor. That's Rashi HaLevi. He claims that they're from the Ben Beneshti, he's cousins with the Balamor. The Elder Zayde, whatever. His parents are Shvera Balamor, he defends the Balamor, and Yuman, the second parent, so you have to defend, you have to stick up for the great grandfather. But he writes that his whole family, they were all of him. He writes that his father had a brother who was a Levi, he had, they were all coming to Hafan. He had his hang up on the Tainus Sibur. When the Balkari would be landing by Chal, so the coin gets by Chal, where is God landing for the Levi? Go look off. Go look off. Plus the Gallup based Gimel, anything? Aton Babakar Ali Ramul Hahar Hahu. So you only lay 3 psukim for the Levi on the Tanis Sibra. And then you start the Shlishi Vayitza. You lay a whole bunch of psukim. Dalit, hey, Vav, Zion, Nesach, Hesel, Allah, and Chesel, Chesel. Keep on going and going. Sheani Oseh Imah. At the end of Pasuk Yud. So the Yisrael gets loads of psukim, gets much more than 4. And the Levi only gets 3 psukim. So he writes in his autobiography that his uncle was a one time. His uncle, when he got Levi on a Tanya Seabrook, refused to say the bracha after the Aliyah. He paralyzed the whole fear of the Torah. So he refused until about 30 to give him another pasuk. And the Gemara says that 4 pasukim is better than 3. So look, if it's Kriyas HaTorah on a Monday or Thursday, the guy's not going to hold everybody up and say he wants. The Kohen will say, I'm not going to say the bracha until he gives me 4. The lady says, I'm not going to say the bracha until he gives me 4. And the Shlishi is going to say, I'm not going to say the bracha. The Gemara says, no, you give 3, 3, 4. You're not this careful to see. But he says, over here, you're laning anyway till the end of Pasuk Yud. And the Yisrael is getting anyway 8 psukim. So what's the world going to come to an end? If I'll get 4 and he'll get 7? So why should he get 8 and I should get 3? So he says his uncle wouldn't say the bracha on the time of Tzibur until the Balkar would lane a 4 pasuk. So the Gemara states the fairy that 4 psukim is better than 3. That's why some pointed out on Parsha Zohar, you read from Parsha Kiseita, so the Kriya Parsha Zohar only has 3 psukim. So the Mishnah Brura quotes this question, how do you pronounce Zohar? Will you pronounce it Zecher or Zecher? So he says, some hold that you should learn twice. So there are two versions of how you learn twice. Some learn the whole Parsha twice, and others will just say, Zecher Amalek, Mecher Zecher Amalek, you just read the phrase twice. So someone pointed out that there is a revach in reading and repeating the whole pasuk, because it turns out that you had 4 psukim instead of 3. And even though one of the Pesukim is just repeat, the last Pesuk, the Shulchan Aruch says that that counts. Because Tosfos and Megillah asks the question that Parshas HaMolech that you read on Purim only has 9 Pesukim. At the end of Parshas B'Shalach only has 9 Pesukim. So the Gemara says that the Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum of 10 Pesukim. But one answer given by Mechaber Pesukim is like that. Do the Spartans do that? One answer given by the Tosfos is that you lay the last Pesuk twice. So even though you've only read 9, but if you lay the last Pesuk twice, that's 10 Pesukim. So you see that to count for the 10 Pesukim, it doesn't have to be 10 new Pesukim. If you lay the Pesuk twice, count for 10. We don't pass like that. Maybe the Spartans follow the Mechaber writes like that, but we don't do that. We assume like the place is close to Yerushalmi. Half of the Shalom and Yonah is good the way it is. Since you've completed the whole theme of Parshas HaMolech and 9 Pesukim, so it's good that way also. But you see from that place is for that one day in Tosfos that repeating a pasuk makes it count for next 10 pesukim instead of 9 to fulfill the Tachanot Chacham requirement minimum of 10 pesukim. So here also, when you learn Parshas Zohar on Shabbos Zohar, you learn the whole last pasuk twice, it comes out that you learn 4 pesukim. So the Aliyah was a fatter Aliyah. It's 4 instead of 3 is better. 5 instead of 4 is the same thing. Once you reach the point of 4, that's what it appears to me tomorrow. 4 as opposed to 3 is that Shiva. More than 4 is not that important. Pasuk described them when they were worshipping the Chet HaEgel, Vayakumu Litzachek. They wanted to have a little fun. Vayakumu Litzachek. Some of it is Zoris that always has with it some kind of Gilei Arayis, some kind of form of Gilei Arayis, some kind of form of Shvich HaZan. They all have some sacrifice, either children or adults. They're always killing someone, and they're always having some kind of Gilei Arayis together with the Avodah Zarah. They always go together. That's what the Medrash means. That's the way it always was, the history of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he pleads on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, says, we should forgive this sin. He says, erase me from your book. How do you translate Tirish Amilah? Very Rashi quotes the Pshat from the Gemara. The Chasam Sofer has in his Rosh Hashanah Chumash, he has a fascinating interpretation on this pasuk. He says that the Medrash has a comment on a pasuk that happens to be earlier in Parshas Kisisa, just coincidentally. Happens to be earlier in Kisisa, at the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph. Ve'eikarati b'shem b'tzalel b'nuri ben kur l'mata Yehuda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to appoint b'tzalel to be in charge of Atiyas HaMishnah. What does it say, re'ei? The Medrash says, what do you see? Re'ei. Re'ei means something that you can look at. What is there to look at over here? So the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had written a book before he created Adam HaRishon that has a list of all of the Talmidei Chachamim and all the Manhigim of all the generations. And that's called Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon. Zeh Sefer told the Sodom, that's the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. Zeh Sefer told the Sodom, so the Gemara asks, okay, is it Sefer called Adam HaRishon? A book written by Adam HaRishon? Zeh Sefer told the Sodom. Pashup Shatna Pasuk means that this, the Torah, is a history book of mankind. But the Gemara holds that it's not. The Torah was never intended to be a history book of mankind. So it's not a history book. What does it mean? So Mar understands that it's alluding to a Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon, a Sefer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote that he showed to Adam HaRishon. And the Medrash says over here, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem, look in the book. The Baruch Shem shows Moshe Rabbeinu, look in the book. You see, it's written in the book. That the Tzavol is the one who's going to be in charge of Atiyas HaMishkan. And the Gemara says that it says in that Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon, in every generation, who are going to be the Talmidei Chacham? The Gemara says in the, he wants to discuss it. Mar says in Bavli Mitzi and Dafte Hey, Rabbi Shmuel, when they both left the Bavel, both negotiated to get smicha, so Rabbi got smicha, and Shmuel didn't get smicha, and then he felt bad about it. And then he said, you don't have to feel bad about it. So someone looked in the Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon and he saw that Shmuel is going to be Chacham Yiskiri, Rebbe Lo Yiskiri. Shmuel is not going to get smicha. He's going to be a doctor. He's going to treat Rabbi Yudah Nasi with a sick man. He gave medication, and he's going to be an astronomer. Shmuel Yachi, no, everything, Mado, but not Torah. He's not going to get smicha. He won't get the Chacham Yiskiri, Rebbe Lo Yiskiri. He'll be a scholar and everything, but he won't be a musmach. He won't have smicha. So there is such a book that lists off all of the Chamin HaChamim for the purposes of being Kaveh Adalokha, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a Mahalach. It's not that, let's say, you live in a generation, we have people are falsifying what the Adalokha is, and people are insisting that this is the Adalokha. And they go and they keep on publicizing that this is the dinner, whether it says otherwise it's crazy and an Amoret and they're lying, and this is what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, this is what Yankin Kamenevsky said, this is what Rabbi Zalman said, and people keep on lying. So the Baruch Hashem is going to see to it that in the next generation everything, when the Meshuggah will disappear from the scene, they're not going to live forever. So when the terrorists who live in this generation will disappear, so the Baruch Hashem will straighten out the mess and he'll let everybody know what it is. It's his terror. And he's going to see, Zor Dovah HaChamach, he will see to it that the truth will come out. We have sometimes for a period of time they were tasking him wrong based on a mistaken reading in a Tosfos. That a wrong gears in the Truma Sadeshim, that a wrong gears in the Ramah. And then 100 years later, they came to the realization it's a mistake, and it was straightened out. All the mistakes are going to be straightened out in the end. So that's the Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan in the world. He didn't just give us the Torah, and then he was master it, and moved it up to us. Say, Lo Bashamayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam has mitzvahs with us, it's all up to us. It's up to us with a little supervision. It's independent research with a little supervision. We're supposed to go back to the professor to ask for some guidance. And if we didn't go back and we made a mistake, so the professor will see to it that it will be straightened out. He'll see to it that whatever papers were printed in error will be discarded, they'll be forgotten. And then the correct opinion will be adopted. So that's what the Chassidus thinks, perhaps the Pshat is. Mechenin HaMesifu HaShir Kasofta, he says, take me out of the Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon. I don't want to be one of the Manhigim. Leave me out. That was his Bakosh. A very schwer process. The Rishonim have a lot of difficulty with it. So some sefer suggest maybe it's referring to that Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon. The Rishonim have a Rashi and Tosfos have a debate in the beginning of Sanhedrin, in the first parak of Sanhedrin around Dav Vav, Dav Zayin, I think, regarding Aharon HaKoyim. Did he do right or did he do wrong by making the he was petrified. He was afraid they were going to kill him. The Pasuk says, Vayivan Mizbeach Lefana. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Vayivan Mizbeach Lefana, Vayivan Mizavuach Lefana. He saw that they had just killed Khur, his nephew. Khur was the son of Miriam. They just murdered him. They requested of Khur he should make an Avodah Zarah. And he said, no, what are you crazy? So they killed Khur. And then they came to Aaron HaKohen and they said, you better make an Avodah Zarah, we're going to kill you like we killed Khur. So in time to Tuach Nefesh, he went and he made them the Avodah Zarah. Vayivin Mizbeach Lefana, Vayivin Mizavuach Lefana. He understood. Rashi quotes from the Medrash Vayikra Rabbah. Vayivin Mizavuach, he understood from the one whom they had just murdered that he better give in to them. So that's the question, are you allowed to give in? The din is that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you heard Vayavach. You're not allowed to, Pikuach Nefesh is not Deich Avodah Zarah. But here it wasn't Avodah Zarah worshipping Avodah Zarah. Aaron didn't worship, they just did Asiyas Avodah Zarah. Asiyas Avodah Zarah is also Yehareg Vayavar, or should perhaps I should treat Asiyas Avodah Zarah like Shari Sur. So that may be dependent on the Machlokes. Some want to say that there's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of Sanhedrin, whether the Gemara has a comment about this, and it's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what did the Gemara comment? Whether Aaron did right or Aaron did wrong. So some want to say that that's the Machlokes, this is a Shab of Abizrael of Avodah Zarah. They say Yehareg Vayavar only on actual worshipping the Avodah Zarah, or even on other prohibitions related to Avodah Zarah, like making Avodah Zarah. I just want to say differently that the reason why Aaron made the Avodah Zarah, the din should really be Yehareg Vayavar, even on making the Avodah Zarah. Because the Avodah Zarah, it's always an Avodah Zarah. We discussed it 2-3 weeks ago when we were learning the Gemara, I think. Because when they hold up a gun and they threaten to shoot me unless I bow down to the idol, I'm not Mekabel Beloha. So that's Ovid Miava Meira. Ovid Miava Meira is a Machlegis Abai Barov and Sanhedrin and Samachalos. And we pass my Barov, but Ovid Miava Meira is not Chayiv Nisa. It's not Chayiv Courage. It's not an Aver. If he doesn't believe that this Avodah Zarah has any powers of a deity, so it's not Avodah Zarah. So why does the Aloha say Yehareg Vayavar? What's for, if someone holds up a gun to me and he says, you be boalesh yisish, should I shoot you? Whether I have, whether I want to or not, I'll be boalesh yisish, that's the avera, kilei arayis. But avodah zarah, if I don't believe in my heart that this avodah zarah has any powers of redeeming, so it's not avodah zarah, it's not avera. It's a chet gomer, it's just a marisayin. It's a marisayin of avodah zarah. So you say, you heard about yavan a marisayin. So Tesis says that Kasha and Sanhedrin and Samachal and Dave, why do you ever have a din of Yehart Va Yav Yav Adizore? If I even Yav Amira doesn't count, it's not an Aves. Tesis says, yes, that's the Halacha. The din of Yehart Va Yav 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 Worshipping the Abba Dizar, that's a, without believing in it, that's an Abba Dizar of a higher level. Making an Abba Dizar, manufacturing an Abba Dizar for someone else to worship, perhaps is a lower Abba Dizar. Maybe you can distinguish. But the Gemara there says in Sanhedrin a little more. The Gemara says what prompted Aharon to make the Abba Dizar was that he was afraid in Yehorek B'Mikdash Hashem Kohen Benozri, that he understood the Nebuah that if they would murder him, like they murder Kur, they would never be forgiven. But Esau would never be forgiven. So the reason why he made the Avodah the Egel was not so much to save his own life, but rather to save the Haskalah's Klal Yisrael. That's how the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. What motivated Aaron to give in to their request and make the Egel was not so much Haskalah's Atma, not the Klal Nefesh, but rather Haskalah's Klal Yisrael. So we discussed the other day about Esther and the Beis Shmuel and the end of Ebenezer, next to the last thing in Ebenezer is about Eishes Ishes in Soita. So they talk about Kasher of Adati of Adati, that Esther went to the Mizana Berotzen with Ahasuerus, but she, according to the Gemara in Megillah, she was an Eishes Ishes. Satan takes that Gemara literally. The Balamar says, I'm not anymore, that's an Agadite. And Ishkan Kasher, you can't bring any rice, my Kasher. And I got it. It comes to teach some ethical principle, but it's not really true. No cash. But Satan takes it literally. That she really was married to Mordechai. She was really an Eishes Ish. She was an Eishes Ish. What's the head of the Mizana Beratzin? But the Klach Nefesh, that the Truma Tadeshin says, yeah, for Hatzolah's Kavistrol, you're allowed to. And the same by Yoel Eishes Chevra Keni. She was still Eishes Chevra Keni. She wasn't an Almona. She was still married. But how was she Mizana with? The Gemara says that she was Mizana. The Gemara in Nozah Dav Chol Gimel says that Yoel Beishis Chemakim Beirav Leh Koran Nafal Shechav Asher Kara Shom Nafal Shavdud. 7 times it says Shechav and so on. So the Gemara says she was Mizana with him 7 times in order to knock him out, to put him to sleep, in order to kill him. So she was an Eishis Ishes Insur. You're allowed to do that. So that's what the Trumas Adeshin says, yes, for Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael, you're allowed to. That's called Gedol Aver the Shema. For Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael, you're allowed to. So that's what some Rishonim say, that is, that Aaron did right, that not only is Gilei Arayis Muta for Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael, but Avodah Zarah would also be Muta for Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that what motivated Aaron to make the Egel was not so much Klach Nefesh Atzmo, but rather Nihorg Mikdash Hashem Koyin Benozi, and they'll never have a Mechila from that. The whole Klal Yisrael will suffer from it. Very honest. Describes the way Moshe Rabbeinu would speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Dibur Hashem in Moshe El Moshe Panim Al Panim Kashi Dabur Ish Al Yeis. So the Rambam in Hilchos Yisera Torah speaks about 2 Yisera's in Amunah, that we have 2 out of the 13 Yisera in Amunah that the Rambam has. One is that there's such an institution of Nebuah, we believe in the institution of Nebuah. And number 2, that Ruach Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher Madrega than that of the other Nebim. That's what it says. That Yisera is in Pashas Bahaloitko. Different. So the Rambam considers that Lokein Abdi Moshe is a big Yisrael in Emunah. Here the Pasuk stresses that again, Panim Al Panim Kasha Dabar Isha Ruyeh Vashav Al Amachim and the Ruach Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher Madrega. The Rambam points out the 4 differences between Ruach Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the other Nevi. The other Nevi would faint. They wouldn't be in a state of consciousness when they would be seized in his work. Moshe Rabbeinu would be Kasha Dabar Isha Ruyeh. Speak like to another person, he wouldn't faint. It would be the Mara, the Lord, the Hidoi. wouldn't be with a vision, it would be like one speaking. It was Oisius and Nikudis, it was a discussion. So. Beginning of Shishi, that's when we lay down the tiny stigwood, that's towards the end of the third aliyah. Vayyam hinei anarchika, raise bris, negu kolam kwe, send his law ois, and so on. Because his book promises he's going to make a bris. A bris on what? Doesn't say what? Doesn't say what the bris is. The Rashi has a pshat. Abris al-Zot, what Moshe Rabbeinu had just requested earlier. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should no longer give any nevuah to the human person. The Nifflinu, there should be haflayah. There should be a big difference in the separation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll make a bris. No more nevuah on the human person. Shetiyu mugdolam ezem kolum etzadam shalatashu shinatoy aleh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris. That's HaRashi. The Gemara has a different interpretation. The Gemara in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah says, "Bris Kruz of the Yud Gilmani, the Shem of Chesed Reikon." That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at this time, "Hashem Hashem Karach Mechal Mesachet El Alof Mitzvah." He declared, he pronounced, proclaimed the Yud Gilmani. Then he said, "V'chanos Yeit Asher Rachim Recham Yeit Asher Arachim." Sometimes I'll forgive the people when they do tshuva. Sometimes I won't forgive the people. Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "No, we need something. We need a better contract. We need a better agreement. We need that whenever the Bnei Yisrael do tshuva and they recite the Yud Gimel, it should always work. It should always be produced." So the Baruch Shalom gave it and said, "In an ethicarin bris maskin bris kruz of the Yud Gimel is she'ena chaz yisrei." Okay, making a bris that it won't be sometimes yes, sometimes no. Chanot yeshar shakshorachan recham yeshar shorachan. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's always going to be a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a bris. A commitment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always forgive us when we chay to the tshuva and recite the Yud Gimel. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we have to be careful when we go into Eretz Yisrael not to worship Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very jealous God. Hashem Kano Shmo. Very jealous God, jealous like a jealous husband. He doesn't want his wife to talk to other men. He doesn't want his wife to display any interest in other men. Sometimes you have a jealous wife. She doesn't want her husband to look at any other women. Only one wife, that's all. That's what it's about. It happens to be a jealous God. He doesn't want you to worship any other Avodah Zarah. Shouldn't display any interest in any other Avodah Zarah. Kael Kano. Yashem Kana Shmo, Kael Kana Hu. Our God is a very jealous God. But Kodesh Baruch Hu says we have to be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah, Pentichas Bris Liyeshiv Ha'aret. No peace treaty with the Arabs. Pentichas Bris Liyeshiv Ha'aret. Because what will happen? Intermarriage. So the custom of Noitel Levanacha. Intermarriage leads to Avodah Zarah. If you have peace with the Arabs who live in Eretz Yisrael, this will clearly lead to assimilation, to intermarriage, and intermarriage will lead clearly to Avodah Zarah. Kor l'chol v'yachal v'mizuko. You will eat. Kor l'chol v'yachal v'mizuko. You will eat the animals that they sacrifice for their Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah Gosu Manoah not only refers to the actual idol or to the tachshitim on the idol, but to the tikruvus as well. The Gemara has a lot of sutras about that in Avodah Zarah, in Sanhedrin, tikruvus, Avodah Zarah. Kor l'chol v'yachal v'mizuko. The Rambam in Hilchos Shechita claims that this is the marker for the din in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel in the first parak of Chulin, that shechita tachum nevela. Places in the Rosh says Shita Sat Nevela is based on a different pasuk. That the pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim that if you want to eat meat, you have to share. it's understood, and then the mashmaut of the pasuk is that the only one who is roi to shecht is one of the bar tzvichah, one who requires shechita that he should be allowed to eat. A non-Jew can eat nevela, he can eat meat from the A&T, so even if he's shecht, it does not shame shechita because it's not a bar tzvichah. But if the Jew is prohibited to eat nevela, shecht to behemoth, he's a bar tzvichah, so then the shechita. And if the akum shecht, the shechita tak nevela, and the tamei b'matzah, it's absolutely meaningless. The shechita is not chal at all. The Rambam understood that Mishnah a little differently. Rambam says, if a goy shechta baby, you're not allowed to eat it. But why should it be mitamei? The shechita is lachvot a good shechita. The Rambam doesn't open that din of bar zvicha. So the Rambam says, mitamei b'matzah, the tumah, yeroyali, that the whole tumah is only with the rabbanah. What it says, chidush in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Yarech Hazok, and the shechita, yeroyali, what it says in the Mishnah, that shechita zakam nevem, and mitamei b'matzah, the tumah is only the rabbanah. And a third, you're not allowed to eat it. So why are you not allowed to eat it? Because it's based on this pasuk. Kol lechol yachal from his zivchor. Even though the pasuk is talking about the kruvus of a resort, nonetheless, it also includes any flesh that's geshochten by any goy. And maybe one should argue the point and say, well, that's only because the goy is an eved of a resort. What if he's a goy who doesn't have any shaykes with an eved of a resort? What if he's a ger toisho? Ger toisho kibbalol of shalal eved of a resort. Absolutely has no shaykes with an eved of a resort. Maybe then if the goy shech the flesh, it should not only not be metani menatar, maybe the yisur achila shouldn't exist either, maybe it should be mutav achila. So the Rambam writes, no, the gedar godul gidru bedavazeh, that even shechita ger toisha is also no good. That's a big machlekes in the Yeridah. What does the Rambam mean? Perik Beis on the shechita, I think. What does it mean, the gedar godul gidru bedavazeh? It's only with the Rabbanan. The Pasha Pshat sounds like he's saying that Dindir Rabbana. I mean, a Torah is really good. Zachri, he was not in love with Avodah Zarah. A fine guy is not involved in Avodah Zarah. Even a Torah, the Shkip is good. Wow. So Leitchik used to say that Rav Chaim held that the Rama meant that it's their right. Shkip is Ger Tosha, Rizotim, and a Torah. Aye, but he says a lot. The Gera God of Gishu, Gera means the Harkakas. Yeah, no, the other Zerab Nassim says in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, it says on the first Mishnah, Hey Mamish Loshet Vara. So one Anshik Nesav goes. So one of the things was that Seis Yog La Teru. So the other Zerab Nassim has Brises Bariches, very much Bariches. All the details of Pirkei Avos. It says, Eizu Hus Yog Shot to Sotero Lidvareha. What, look in the Torah in order to see what Siyog and what Hachok is the Torah made. So the Chachamim, when they want to make, call the Tikkun Rabban came the right of Tikkun. When the Chachamim want to make a Siyog and a Hachok, they should pattern their Siyog after the Siyog in their right. So Eizu Siyog Shosa Torah the Dvarah. So the Obviously Rav Nosson gives a marshal. The Nazir, we don't want the Nazir to drink wine. Nazirus, we don't want him to drink wine. Fine. But what's wrong with eating grapes? What can happen? He's going to eat grapes. What's so? He's going to get drunk from grapes. If the Siyog is going to allow him to eat grapes, then he's going to get to drink wine. What's another example? The Torah doesn't want that a person should be mishamish with an isha nida. What's wrong if he kisses his wife when she's a nida? What's wrong if he kisses a girl, holds the girl's hand, or does other things with the girl? So the Obbister of Nassim says, no. Shema Taimer, Agape, Fanashik will do everything but the Maisa is Nus itself. So the Torah says, Alisha, we need this to Masa Laisikrav. Even here, a batur is prohibited because this will lead to the ma'isa tashmish. So it's down from the Abbas Ram Lakhm in simple reading. He's listing off Ezi Siyog Shas and Satar, Lizvarer, that there's such a thing as a Siyog Deraita. These are examples of Siyog Deraita, and the Chachamim should pattern their Siyogim after the Siyog Deraita. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that his grandfather Rav Chaim thought that when the Rambam writes it, the get a God of Gidru B'davizeh, that Afilu HaGetoshim Shishachas, does not necessarily mean that it's a Siyog Derabonah. It could mean that it's a Siyog Deraita. The Pashtus in the Gemara is like that, that any Nachri Shishachas is Shchitas and Neveil. Not only a Nachri who's an Avid Avid Azar, even a Nachri Shein Avid Avid Azar.
The
Lashon
of Gidru,
this is
a Gidru.
The simple reading clearly is that it's only Derabonah. But he said Rav Chaim held that it doesn't necessarily have to mean like that. Then the Torah repeats again, the mitzvah sholosh regalim. Sholosh pam mashonei rokol zchurchas pnei ho'odan Hashem alokei Yisrael. In the Drush form, they quote a starke kasha from Rabbi Sol Talanta on this pasuk, an interesting kasha. The Gemara in the first daf in Chagiga quotes one Tana, who says that not only is a tuma patur from Aliyah LeRegel, a tuma beino achas is also patur. If he's only blind on one eye, he's also patur from Aliyah LeRegel. So the pasuk says shows from Roshana Yeroa Ekol Zuchuta, and we darshan a kriya nixiv. When there's a contradiction between the decree and the ksiv, then there's a machloek in Satan, whether he passed like decree, passed like the ksiv. You say Yeshem la mikro, mikro means the decree, or you say Yeshem la masoresh, you pass like the ksiv. But whenever there's no contradiction, whenever you can pass like both, the Tosafot says in Sanhedrin Dabdalit, all about Dabdalit, I mean, all from the base, all about Yeshem la mikro, Yeshem la masoresh. The more collects the many occurs, whether you argue. And Tosafot collects more occurs there. So Tosafot has a cloud. Whenever you can pass them like both the Queen and Sid, you can blend the both in together and peace and harmony, so then you pass them like both. So he wrote that in one of the first daf and Chagiga darshan. Shalosh Pam Roshana Yeroeh, but it's written Yireh. So you darshan Yireh Yeroeh, that you should see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you should appear before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara darshan the Hekesh. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously comes to look at you with his both eyes, that Baruch Hu is looking two eyes, so too we have to come to look at the Shechina with two eyes. So Tuma Bein Achas is Pater. What do we come, when we come, what are we looking at? Somewhat Pashup Shah. What are we coming to look at? The Barsham comes to look at us. What are we coming, what are we going to see? The Barsham doesn't have any body. That's what the Sechemet quotes the letter that Rav Shlomo LaVilna sent to him. The dying of Vilna, when they were printing the Vilna Shas, he was Magi on the Vilna Shas. He was Magi on the Vilna Shas from memory. Including more by heart. So when they gave the galley, you didn't have to check against the original, like when you do the basic stuff. You don't know what it's supposed to say in the minor, but he knew what it's supposed to say. So that's why in the Vilna Shas you have some mistakes that don't appear in other Gemara, because his memory fails him every so often. But most of the time his memory was gone good. Sometimes if you look in the Vilna Shas, he has litvish misspelling. He has a samach instead of a shin, because that's the way he pronounced that sin. He pronounced that sin like a samach. Once in a long while, you have a real Litvish in this tone. But that's the way of Shlomo LaVilna, that's how his family said. One of his descendants used to be a Rebbe Yiddishi, Rabbi Markeller, was the teacher in Tion. They told over that story. He used to be Magia Balpe, as he knew the Gemara Rashi in Tais Balpe, he was Magia. But Rav Shlomo LaVilna sent a letter to the author of the Sechemet. Sechemet was a Sfardi from Eretz Yisrael, had a Rabbanit in Russia for a period of time. Then he went back to Eretz Yisrael. They sent him a letter. What shot in this din? Yireh Yireh. But the people come to see the Shechina. How do they see? So he says, perhaps that's the mocker of the practice that they had with mana bayis, that they used to pick up the shulchan and squeeze the lechem upon him and show the people that it was fresh when they came to the other regal. And they used to, the Gemara says in the last daf in Chagiga, they used to roll up the parochas during the period of Bayis Rishon. They rolled up the parochas and they showed the people the kruvim hugging each other. Ruchi batchem lechem avoch. Where did they get this from? That they should squeeze the lechem upon him. The last daf in Chagiga. Yeah. So he rolled up the parochas to show everybody. Ruchi batzim lechem avoch. That the kruvim are hugging each other. No. I thought it was the last one based in Chagiga. So Rav Shlomo LaVilna said that he thinks that this is where they got it from the year of Yeroy. Kedero shebo leiroy is kachbo leiroy. Huh? Here it says about the lechem upon him they picked up. Ah, where did it say that they rolled up the parochas? That must be in Yuma Daphne Dala again. In Yuma Daphne Dala. That's when the kruvim were there. Look here, the last Daphne Chagig is just about the shulchan, with the lechem upon him being fresh. So where did they get this einfall from? So he says, that's what it means, year. That everybody should come to see. You can't see the Rishon, Eilo Guf Gvir. So you come to see the Nisan Tadiri, the unusual things that were there on the base of Mikvah. So we saw Talanta had a kasha on this. That there's a Medrash, a Harif is digging kasha. We saw Talanta was a Goy. A Goy, not Goy. He's one of the Gedolei Ador. He was the Gadol Ador in his generation, at least a week. So he had a kasha. There's a Medrash at the end of Shira Shirim. And the pasuk brach doidi, the left pasuk brach doidi melech cholitzvi leirgo hayom brach doidi melech cholitzvi, that when the deer is awake, they look with both eyes. When the deer sleeps, he keeps one eye open and one eye closed. So too, when the Rebbe Shalom is happy with Klal Yisrael, when the Rosh Hashanah Shem Rochim, he looks at us with both eyes. When he's angry at us because we're doing our errands, so he doesn't really make a full head. The phone doesn't close his eyes on us. He closes one eye, but he keeps one eye open. So we're looking at the eye that's closed. It looks like a mass of a head. The phone is really still looking at us with one eye. Samerish, then Rabbi Solomon put the kash is based on a theory of three different drushes. Then the bottom of the Bava Basra has a discussion. Sometimes in Tanakh we are described as bottom lamachim, sometimes we are described as abadim. So which relationship? Are we slaves or are we bottom? So some Tanayim, Machlek Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yudit, the end of human, the first parak in Bava Basra. So some Tanayim suggested that it's not shas mitzvah shamachim, nikroim bottom. It's not shas mitzvah shamachim, then nikroim abadim. Whatever we are, that the other half of the relationship is going to be parallel. So if we're Banim, then he's Avinu Shabashimai. If we're Avadim, then he's Adayim. But that was a result of Alantid Kash. If the Pasuk says, Shalosh Pama Shani Rakos Kuchas, Pneha Adon Hashem, if the Rebbe Shalom described as an Adon, obviously we're Avadim. So it means that we're not Ozim and Sama Shamakam. We're not Ozim and Sama Shamakam. So he only looks with one eye. So how do you say that the Summa Bein Achaz is Fatim and Ariya? I'm another. Who says the Rebbe Shalom is looking with two eyes? If the Pasuk is describing when we're Ein Ozim and Sama Shamakam, that's only one eye. That was the Kasha. So the Rishon Salanta gave a teret on his kasha, and other darshanim, it's a different style kasha. Pasuk says that when you're oyla regel, you don't have to worry. Le'yachman ishisartcha ba'aloscha le'rosh b'nei Hashem alakecha shavash priyamim rashonim. The enemy will not attack when you'll be oyla regel. Yom Kippur they attack. But the Pasuk promises, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, they won't attack when you'll go to the other regular. So everybody's going to clear out, the men, the women, everybody's going to go to the other regular. So who's going to watch the farm? The Pasuk says, HaHaftoch. So the Gemara says in the first parak in Tzachim, this means a Shluch in Mitzrayim and Mizokim. A Shluch in Mitzrayim and Mizokim. HaYitzach HaKash on Yom Kippur, HaKam. So the Gemara says, whenever Shchiach HaZekim, then that cloud doesn't apply. What does it mean Shchiach HaZekim? Means when it's a Miyot HaMotzi. Miyot HaMotzi, the Mishnah says, when it's more than 10%. Something like that. But it's above 10%, that's a near tamot, so then you don't apply this cloud, shluchim mitzvahim nizokim. But when it's less than 10%, then you say shluchim mitzvahim nizokim, and you shouldn't be nervous. You see, this has to do with the cloud. What's the definition of suffix sakana? Suffix sakana doesn't have to be 50-50. Let's say the odds are 90% that my life is not in danger. Am I allowed to be mechal Shabbos or not? Let's say I have a condition. The guy is a chayla, maybe the sakana, 10% sakana to his life, 90% nothing to worry about. The guy says, I want to go to the hospital, somebody's driving fast, I want to get a doctor. They say, what are you worried about? Acharav mahatas, we go bus the roi is going to survive. But the guy's nervous, he's petrified. So the Gemara says, lehalcha b'tzloch nefoshet achar haroi. The Gemara, the end of the first parak in Ketubah, the last time, says, you don't follow roi when it comes to tzloch nefosh. So what if it's a ridiculous, let's say the guy has an ingrown toenail, he has a little pain. If someone tells him, you better go to the hospital immediately. You know, someone once died from 25 years ago, somebody once died from an ingrown toenail. Or he has pains, has a bellyache, he ate something, ate too much chocolate. Has a bellyache. They say, you know, you better go to the hospital, you may die. Sometimes people die from food poisoning, whatever, who knows what it is. There's one chance out of the million that he may die, but he's not nervous about it. So the shalal is, whenever he's nervous about it, whenever he's nervous, then it's called suffix sakana. Whenever he's not nervous, not suffix sakana. Or even if he is nervous, it's such a ridiculous thing. It's echad mini yalav. Echad mini yalav alta alafim. It's so far-fetched, and then you say that's ridiculous. So here, that's what the Gemara says. When you're going to do a mitzvah, and you want to hold yourself back because you're afraid of a suffix sakana, if the suffix sakana is less than 10%, then you're not supposed to be nervous at that suffix sakana. You're supposed to ignore that. Because that's the cloud of shluch and mitzvah and mizokim. Unless it's shchiach hazeker, it's more than 10%. Then it's a miyot hamotzei. Then you don't say shluch and mitzvah and mizokim. More than 10%. If the guy's nervous, then it's a suffix sakana. He's not nervous, is nish. 50-50. Even if he's not nervous, the guy's gonna jump over the Empire State Building. Hey, look, ma, no hands. 50-50, suffix sakana. It doesn't matter whether you're nervous or not. That's a suffix. That's by definition. Even if it's 51, 49, That's also by definition. You are mishuganet. You say batla daita to bat kol manyan. You can't say asdina batla ruga. If you would consult 100 people, so 99 out of 100 would be nervous over there to jump over the Empire State Building without a parachute and without any protection. But then the fact that I'm not nervous, I'm a daredevil, that doesn't help. It's still called batla daita to bat kol manyan. When you get to a lower, when you get to a space of 90% security and safety, so then it depends, 80%, 90%, then it depends whether you're nervous or not.
So you say public title even where
the road, but it's not such a, not much of a, the most person, any of the people worry about it. You say public title? If you're public title, you always say public title. You would consult 100 people. 99 out of 100 would say one way, this is the only Meshuggah who says fakir, then you say batla daita, we ignore what he said. But if it's not 99 out of 100, it's not so clear. So then you don't say batla daita. Then if you're nervous, then it's called safek sakar. If you personally are not nervous, then it's not called safek sakar.
You know how you said about that, you even though they tend to trigger, most people don't worry about doing something.
What, 70% safe, and I'm nervous about it?
Yeah, because generally people would be worried because a certain chance they're going to die. People would be worried about it.
I would think so, yeah.
So that would be just something they're not. Well, even if you're getting this guy, he's not worried about it.
I would think so. 30%, okay. I would think so. The Gemara Gittin Dav Samach comments on the Pasuk the Yidin of Shvi. Sav Lachas Adram Ha'ela Ki Api Adram Ha'ela Karati Yitzchabris Be'et Yisrael. Why did it write twice Ki Api Adram Ha'ela? So she said Sav Lachas Adram Ha'ela Ki Api Hem Karati Yitzchabris Be'et Yisrael. So the Gemara understands it's a different Dvarim Ha'ela. Sav Lachas Adram Ha'ela. These Dvarim Ki Api Adram Ha'ela, the other Dvarim. One is Tarash Bechtav, one is Tarash Malteh. Sav Lachas Tarash Bechtav. Api is Tarash Malteh. So the Gemara understood the Pasuk not the way we key. Ki misham is bedava l'shem. The word ki has different meanings. But in addition to the four l'shem, the Rashi has more l'shem, has more than the four. Ezra has, Takan, this we said it, even Ezra has the meaning of the word ki is the opposite because, despite the fact.